Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate. Starting
good
off fresh.
Good morning. Let's see if we can get the music going, though. We thought we were starting off fresh. All right, there it is.
We're starting off fresh.
It's cool. I mean, it is cool outside, guys. Have you guys noticed that?
It's
a cool 59.
Oh,
my gosh.
I mean,
I had to rock the long sleeves this morning, guys.
The desert is chilling. Welcome to
Weed Day
Wednesday, everybody.
Your host.
Belle Starr
and the Cannabis Kid.
We are a live, very, very live cannabis, marijuana, weed, reefer, pot, ganja, radio show, whatever you want to call it. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Right arm. Oh, my Lord. Pull that. That's done.
That's done?
Give me that back. Oh, yeah. That's done.
Yeah.
All right. That's looking done. That's way overdone.
Okay.
Overdone.
Take it out.
Take it out.
Take it out of the oven.
Take the baby out of the oven. That's
it right. Happened while I was gone, though.
Take the baby out of the oven.
Keep
the baby
while
in
I was
the
gone.
Oven.
That happened.
Things happen to babies in ovens. Oh, here. You need your jug.
We got a lot going on here.
Do we?
Don't we?
Oh, guess who started selling weed? Oregon.
That's very true. I was like,
oh, we love it.
Yeah.
We love Oregon.
They've got all kinds of fun products that are popping out there.
Awesome. We have a whole new magazine in which to read from.
What?
Okay, can you guys all see this? No. Our doctor bought this book and has read it already. You know who. Yeah. Marijuana Goes Main Street, it says. And this is another Time Inc. special. And this is why we just got our Barnes & Noble's membership, because we're going to be buying a boatload of these.
Came out the same time that one did.
And this came out there.
Same time.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so when you guys were reading that, I went to
there must be
all along.
Different editions.
When they had
Well,
maybe we need to have a talk with them about that.
Well, but it looks as though it's a different cover, same magazine. Wow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they just did some fun new covers on it.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the same magazine,
sweet.
I think.
Collect them all.
Yeah, collect all the covers. Let's just look.
We need to
here, go to page 40. Go to page 47.
Go to page 47.
If you viewers, if you listeners at home,
yeah.
Follow along.
Yep. I want to smoke some weed.
That's pretty cool, though.
Three suits.
That you guys got.
Pajamas.
Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe New York has that one.
Yeah. I want that magazine. All right, right on. Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday and our various editions of Time Magazine editions. No, so, Oregon started selling weed. Who else is selling
weed?
Well,
they're going all their recreational, so there's so many new products that are hitting the market in Oregon, and a lot of the patients and recreational users have quite their handful. They have quite a plethora to choose from of medication. And being up right there next to California, which is our longtime cannabis users, and you guys have had your cards, not had your cards, stuff been taken away, raids. California definitely have had
its
fair share.
Well, since 96, they've had dispensaries. So.
Right. So I was saying, you've kind of gotten that some of those ideas and things that have flown up to the Oregon area. And you got Washington coming on board.
D.C.?
No, Washington.
Not yet. They're not selling yet. D.C.'s not selling yet.
Not D.C., Washington State.
Yes.
Right there next year. I mean, you got all three states right there that are heavy users, big hitters in the cannabis scene.
Yep. Guess what else? There are eight
CEOs who have admitted using marijuana. Stop.
No way.
I feel like we're going. We're doing TMZ. I feel like we're doing TMZ now.
It is. But it's TMC. TMC.
But oh, Belle, you're so silly.
Trademark. TMZ. And look at who we got.
TMZ.
Look who's up there. Heifer's up there. Hey, Heffy. Hugh Hefner, Playboy. I don't think there's any question that marijuana should be legalized because to not legalize it, we're paying the same price we paid for prohibition. In other words, it's a medical concern, and it should be handled that way. All right. So guess what George Zimmer from the Men's Warehouse says? Said he's been smoking marijuana on a regular basis for about 50 years. I wonder if his suit smells like pot.
No, wait. He's got a commercial that someone was making fun of him of his is it Big and Tall or what?
Men's Warehouse.
Whatever. He's like, you'll love my weed.
Oh,
I don't know where I was at while looking at that. I thought it was hilarious.
Richard Branson from the Virgin Group told Piers Morgan that he smoked marijuana with his adult son while on vacation.
On their plane or spaceship?
Yeah.
I bet that's one plane that you can smoke on.
Oh, man, that would be great.
We'll have a weed plane. Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Network has admitted two times on national television to having smoked marijuana when she was younger.
Oprah Winfrey.
Everybody look under your seat.
Weed for everybody.
Weed for you.
Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg Media Company. When asked by a New York magazine if he smoked marijuana, you bet I did and I enjoyed it. John Sperling says, former CEO of the University of Phoenix, said that smoking marijuana helped him manage the side effects of cancer treatment. Aw. Mark Johnson, Descarty Labs, says he told a news company that he smoked marijuana day in and day out and that marijuana use was so widespread among Silicon Valley tech workers that it simply isn't an issue. Right? It should not be an issue ever. Seriously.
If we've already gone over that it's safer than alcohol.
Unless it's an issue.
Right.
Don't make it an issue. Don't make marijuana an issue. Meaning, don't do a 90% THC dab and walk through the front door of your employer's office.
Right, exactly. That's just crazy.
And don't reek of cannabis when you walk in to work.
Right.
Don't
drink responsibly. How about weed?
Or for an interview. Very good.
I mean, ladies.
Okay, no. Wait a minute.
Ooh, guys, I love it.
Wait, what? Oh, my God. No, just people coming to interviews just reeking and stoned and... Oh, he loved me, Mary Louise Parker. But you just can't do it. All right, and Peter Lewis, former CEO of Progressive Insurance Company. I used marijuana to combat chronic pain from a leg amputation. Oh, I'm supporting the marijuana campaign because I support common sense reform of the nation's drug laws. Yeah. Common sense.
Oh, yeah, of course, Flo.
I bet Flo's entire family uses it.
Oh, of course.
Even Ted.
Yeah.
And his wife, who's always on vacation. Where's your wife, Ted? She's on vacation.
Exactly.
I love it. Guess who else uses weed? Top 10 geniuses who produce their best work when smoking weed. Are you ready for this? Well, let's see here. Let's just read this. This says, while general consensus in the science world is mixed, there's no denying that smoking marijuana is a catalyst for creativity or the key to unlocking some work of genius for many people. There are countless studies on the effects of marijuana on the brain. They've unveiled some fascinating insights. A 2010 study by Morgan Rothwell et al. Showed that weed can increase a person's hyperpriming, allowing the brain to make connections between concepts that, on the surface, can appear unrelated. You see it in TV shows and films all the time. A detective is staring at something seemingly random, but then has an aha moment and solves the entire crime. Luckily, in most cases, they explain it to us later. But at any rate, marijuana also releases dopamine, giving smokers a euphoric feeling that could lead to some major breakthroughs. So in no particular order, here are 10 people that we consider to be geniuses, all of whom produce their very best work when they smoke weed.
All right.
And I love this. Dr. Maya Angelou. Oh, love this lady. Celebrated author, poet, dancer, actress, singer, and prominent civil rights activist, Dr. Maya Angelou was many things that can be summed up by the word genius. She was also an avid marijuana supporter, and her 1974 autobiography, Gathered Together in My Name, one of a series of seven autobiographies that begin with the highly lauded I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Angelou wrote, Mary Jane, hash, grass, gauge, weed, pot, and stated she had absolutely no fear of using it. After smoking weed and eating, Angelou said, the food was the best I'd ever tasted. Every morsel was an experience of sheer delight, and I lost myself in a haze of sensual pleasure.
Woo!
Maya Haze! I like the Maya Haze. We need to have a Maya Haze plant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
William Shakespeare, right? In his sonnet 76, the great bard refers to the noted weed. Well, it could mean more than first thought, as in a 2001 study of 17th century smoking pipes discovered traces of cannabis, including several that were found in the garden of Shakespeare's England home. Did the greatest playwright to ever live smoke weed? Well, according to those behind the study, it was a time that Elizabethans were experimenting, so it's definitely possible. It could go some way to explain Shakespeare's genius. Right on. This man you know and love for all the entertainment he provides, Oliver Stone. Before director Oliver Stone made his Vietnam War epic Platoon in 1986, he served two stints in Vietnam as a combat soldier, even earning a Bronze Star with the device for his heroism in ground combat. His experiences made Platoon the visceral, no-hope bard work of genius for which it is renowned. Stone is also a regular weed smoker, having stated that smoking pot saved his life when he was wounded. Weed made the difference between staying human and becoming a beast, he told USA Today. A lot of people in my platoon used it, not on front lines, but in the back to relax and stay in touch with themselves. The guys who smoked were more conscious of life. All right.
I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing? Bill Gates. Yep, even Bill Gates, one of the world's richest men and the genius behind Microsoft, smoked weed when first starting out. The billionaire now supports the legalization of marijuana in the USA, telling BuzzFeed that, yes, he voted to pass the Initiative 502. All right, Bob Marley.
Yay.
If there's one thing that most music listeners associate with the late, great Bob Marley, it's that he smoked a lot of marijuana. The devoted Jamaican Rastafari, known for his songs as Jammin', No Woman, No Cry, and Buffalo Soldiers, is one of the world's best-selling artists and believed that smoking weed was a spiritual act that helped people clear their minds, helping obtain peace and insight.
As a member of this community on patient advocacy and everything, did anybody ever ask themselves why Bob Marley smoked so much weed?
Well, there were many reasons, he said.
Yeah?
Yeah. He didn't even know he had cancer until it was too late.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't know he had cancer until it was.
And they were quite surprised
that he lasted as long as he did.
Exactly.
What he had going on.
You know what? I given that, you know, the music generation and everything should be, you know, well, thankful, I guess, because he wouldn't have lasted as long as he did without marijuana.
Probably.
And we would
not.
Have never, you know, been able to hear that great music he produced.
Probably not. Read that one.
Carl Sagan?
No, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is one of the most heralded American stand-up comedians of the past 20 years, and was even told by legendary comedic Richard Pryor before his death that he was to be that. Pryor had passed the torch. He's considered a genius by many of the world's best-known comedians, and Chappelle has been very public about his weed use in the past, even as far as writing and starring in the Stoner comedy film Half Baked. Oh, that was a great one. His two stand-up comedy specials, Killing Them Softly and For What It's Worth were absolutely hilarious. Check out some of them, his weed-related stand-ups.
All right.
I don't think I needed to go that far, but...
Carl Sagan. We love Carl Sagan. The late Carl Sagan was one of the world's most celebrated astronomers, cosmologists, astrophysicists, and more. Words I can't even pronounce. He's arguably best known for his contributions to the scientific research of extraterrestrial life. But his overall body of work is immense. He published more than 600 scientific papers. Sagan was also a marijuana user and supporter, saying that weed amplifies torpid sensibilities and produces more interesting effects. In a 1969 essay penned under the pseudonym Mr. X, Sagan wrote, "The cannabis experience has greatly improved my appreciation for art, a subject which I had never much appreciated before. The understanding of the intent of the artist, which I can achieve when high, sometimes carries over to when I'm down. This is one of many human frontiers which cannabis has helped me traverse."
All right.
Right on.
Awesome.
Yeah, very awesome. That's huge for someone of that clout to come out. George Carlin.
Well, Carl Sagan talked about smoking cannabis a lot, you know. Who are we talking to? Grinspoon.
Yeah, but he couldn't talk about it as Carl Sagan. Well, he had to write that article as Mr. X, because he wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Right.
He was related to NASA and everybody else who had clout and didn't want to know if he smoked pot. They probably all do, but they just don't want to know about it.
Can you imagine that, though, just sitting back with a...
Talking to aliens while high, yes.
With the good buzz going on and everything, just looking through this massive telescope and just looking into the sky.
Let's go to the planetarium.
Yes. And pretend we're Carl Sagan.
Yes.
And have torpid thoughts.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
All right. George Carlin.
Oh, that didn't even look like him.
I know. Look at that. That's funny, huh? It looks like Doug Fine.
He's very young. Very young George Carlin.
Oh, it does look like Doug.
It looks like Dougie.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Doug. I love you, Doug. George Carlin, call in. Chat with us. Anybody calling in? Are we even live? Are we on the air? Did I even unmute us? No, hello? Viewer?
Are we? Is anybody out there?
I know. Are you there? Are y'all stoned with us? All right. George Carlin, let's just tell it like it is. Many fans of American comedy consider George Carlin to be one of the trailblazers. Blazers. Politically aware, provocative, and highly influential, Carlin was placed second in a Comedy Central list of the 100 greatest stand-up comedies after an amazing comedy career spanning almost 50 years. His counterculture material naturally lent itself to an appreciation of marijuana. He once said in an interview, "I find that with pot, I'm not a big drug user anymore, but I always have a joint somewhere near me." He added that when he was writing some comedy, one hit is all it takes. All right.
Thank you.
Maybe
it's dosing
maybe
it was right.
A strong hit.
Dosing it. Uh-huh.
All right, tell us about Stephen King.
He's the author who brought us The Shining, Misery, It, Carrie, The Green Mile, Cujo. Insomnia, and The Shawshank Redemption, and more. Stephen King has long been the most successful horror writer of his generation, but many people might not know he's also a big weed fan. King was once quoted as saying, "I think that marijuana should not only be legal, I think it should be a cottage industry." You're going to get your wish there, Mr. Stephen King.
Wow. So next time you're watching a scary Stephen King movie, you might want to get high first and just get on his level.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I could do Cujo, like, too toasted. Man, that scares me enough as it is.
I don't watch any of those movies. I could not handle
them. Oh, it scares me.
Oh, it's
just
bad.
A lot.
Man, did you know they're coming out with a new version of that?
No.
Cujo?
No, it.
Oh,
it.
No.
I can only imagine how scary that's going to be.
They're going to do Cujo with a pit bull.
We're getting into the time where we're going to start remaking movies for everybody else.
Yeah, because all the good ones are dead. All right, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. I wish they all could. Oh, never mind. Anyone in possession of a mind that could write songs as beautiful as God Only Knows, surfs up in good vibrations, simply has to be a genius. And that man was the Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. In an interview with HigherVerb.com, Wilson described how he began work on arguably one of the greatest albums of all time, 1966's Pet Sounds. "I listened to Rubber Soul by the Beatles and smoked some marijuana and was so blown away that I went right over to my piano and wrote God Only Knows with a friend of mine," he said. I love it.
Oh, that's good.
Smoking marijuana.
Well,
look at that young picture, Brian. That's cute.
You'll be happy to know that Cannabis gets its day in the first ever exhibition.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
In Oakland.
It's a whole museum in Oakland,
it's a whole
California.
Museum dedicated to cannabis.
That's where Bill Starr was born.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Says, come this April, the Oakland Museum of California will debut the first ever museum exhibition dedicated to cannabis in the state. The show, set to explore marijuana, its uses, and the evolving public attitudes and complex issues surrounding it, is titled Altered State, Marijuana in California, and will take place at the OMCA from April through September 2016. That's awesome. So we still have time to go.
Let's do it.
California is on the verge of making important decisions around marijuana that will impact people's living in the state. Kelly McKinley, director of the OMCA lab, said that in the press release, OMCA is a place where people can come together to learn, question, and add their voices to the different points of view around this topic at a very critical time in this public decision making. Organizers say that the exhibition is designed to be a catalyst for conversation and reflection, examining the many facets of the cannabis, including historical, social, and political perspectives. In addition, Altered State will provide museum visitors with the opportunity to smoke cannabis while... No, I'm just kidding. to contribute to the nationwide conversation. The roles of the museum in today's world are shifting. OMC Director Lori Fogarty said that through a release at OMCA, we aim to inspire Californians to create a more vibrant future for themselves and their communities. As part of this, we are dedicated to being a place where people can come, learn about complex topics, and more importantly, add their voices and stories to the dialogue. This exhibition is proof of that in action. The exhibit announced comes at the same time Reform California has announced the filing of its initiative proposing adult use cannabis in the Golden State for the November 2016 ballot. The OMCA exhibit will explore 10 ways people consider cannabis in California, including cannabis science, medical marijuana, sacred ganja, and the recreational reefer. Each topic will include current data alongside historical and contemporary media and as well as interactive and prompts designated to stimulate conversation.
And when did you say it ran? Because I went to the website.
It is going to be running from April through September 2016.
Oh, the 2016.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a long run.
So next.
Holy cow.
Next spring.
All right.
It'll open. Or is it open right now?
April 16th. Oh, through September 25th of 2016. Apparently it's open. I will be visiting. All right. That's
very cool.
That is very cool.
So you're gonna go. You're gonna actually get to go while you're up there.
I'll get to go while I'm there.
This is very exciting, Bill Starr. You'll have to report.
Do a little video. Yeah, I should do a video.
Get a GoPro.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Bill Starr at the museum.
Uh-huh.
Who's gonna fly out? Come on. Who's coming?
I'll see what I can do.
Who's coming to the show?
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
All right. So what are the symptoms? PTSD.
Crohn's. HIV and AIDS. Multiple sclerosis.
Cancer.
Arthritis.
Chronic pain.
And anything that's Alzheimer's, agitations of Alzheimer's, and then seizures, tremors, things that cause shakes and things like
mm-hmm.
that. What else?
Glaucoma.
Oh, you're cheating. Read up.
No, I'm not. I'm reading on something totally different.
Dang it. I thought you had the actual list. Well, you can
I'm
go
just
to...
good like that.
You are just good like that. You can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and we all just tried to guess all on our own. I think we covered everything. ALS. I think we did cover everything. But if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com
Crohn's.
And click on the certifications button, you'll see it all. It'll tell you each and every ailment you can get certified. If yours isn't up there, fibromyalgia, migraines, you can get certified for those things. That falls under chronic pain. So bring what records you have. If you don't have any, that's all right. We can offer an evaluation for you. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We are in the back. Come and see us. Certifications are just $85. $65 for renewal. We are now doing house calls. So if you can't leave the house or your facility, wherever you are, wherever you may happen to be, call us, email us, and we will talk to you about having one of our doctors come see you. Check for our ad in the weekly for the new announcements of house calls. What else you got going on in the kitchen? You know, we just read some news from azmarijuana.com, who we'd like to thank because they're just awesome. And that little ad, our tumbleweeds, that'll be up there as well. That's where we got our 8 CEOs that have admitted to using marijuana. What else you got there? You got stuff there. You know, Facebook
is quite a place for our all of our posts. And if you are wanting to get up speed on all of Tumbleweeds and Weeds Day Wednesdays news, articles, we have
video. Don't you put video
comic
up there too?
Relief.
Oh, yeah. That's very important.
But just tons of information. If you are wanting to learn more, definitely check out Tumbleweeds Mobile Edition all your law. And, I think Space Queen has a little bit more on that.
Well, you can check out anything. We have lists of laws. We have lists of dispensaries on there. We've got...
Tell them about our social media.
Our social media is all over the place. We are on MySpace, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter. We are everywhere.
So
everywhere you want to be.
Everywhere you are, that's where we are. Check us out.
Yeah.
Follow us.
Come say hi.
Every day we're updating something. So you got to keep up.
Yep, and we've got a weekly special on Instagram. There's a special of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go to our little Instagram page to find that out. And if you use our mobile app, which I think is just mobile.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, there are specials there every month that aren't anywhere else to be found. So lucky you.
Easter eggs, guys. Ooh.
Yeah.
Search for those deals. But they are there.
They are there. The weed specials are around.
Hidden in certain places.
You know what else is around?
Are you up for the adventures of saving?
Yes.
What up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up. Got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high. Looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs will be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right, welcome back to Weed Wednesday. How's it going, folks? What are y'all smoking out there? Find out what
we want to hear.
We want to know what strains you're taking this morning.
Hit us up on Facebook. We love talking to you guys.
What marijuana are you taking today? What are we on?
I'm always wanting to look at something like really good. Like, I don't know what I'm looking for, but
you're looking for something though, huh?
Intrigue. Yeah, we're looking for it. It's in there. I get the best every day. I get these little messages on my Facebook or
every day,
like all day, and it says Cannabis Kids sent you a message, Bellstar. You better read up on your edumacation. So if you want to go to our Facebook page, it is, let me tell you about that right now. So you go facebook.com/THCAZ, and that will be us. You can like us, you can chat with us. Is it a commercial coming up?
Yeah, this is what I wanted to talk to. This is the thing. Well, it's not a commercial.
Oh.
But ex-big pharma sales reps were trained to misinform and drug.
And say that drugs are dangerous.
Say drugs are dangerous.
Well, drugs are dangerous. There you go. You going to play it?
Yeah.
Is it loud?
It is loud.
All right, let's hear it. We got something from.
By the time a drug's approved and it hits the general population, we don't know even 50% of side effects that are involved with that drug. We were being trained to misinform people. I spent 15 years in the pharmaceutical industry working for some of the major manufacturers. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, you know, I need to get out of pharmaceutical sales. It was actually an awakening process for me. It was a spiritual and consciousness process where, as I started observing what was happening, what some of the drugs were doing, the misinformation, the disinformation, that I was being encouraged to minimize side effects when I talked to doctors, I started to recognize that these patients were literally being tortured by the drugs that they were given. My niece was 20 years old. She was attending Indiana University, and she was a pre-med student. Extremely intelligent, beautiful woman, and just a beautiful spirit inside and out. She was in a car accident and was prescribed Vicodin, hydrocodone, for pain and became addicted. While she was studying, she determined that the sedative properties of her drug were keeping her from being able to concentrate, so she purchased some ephedra, which is a stimulant. She had a drug interaction and ended up in the emergency room at the local hospital. And they tagged her with a bipolar illness diagnosis, not a drug toxicity or, reaction to the drugs that she was on. And they started giving her more major antipsychotics and mood stabilizers. And that set her on the road to becoming a mental patient. She eventually had to drop out of school after a 5-month period of trying to withdraw from Effexor and all of the other antipsychotics and drugs that they had put her on. She was extremely severely depressed, and her mom was on her way home to take her forcibly back to the psychiatrist and get her placed back on drugs. So my niece walked into her younger sister's room and took an angel-shaped lantern that was filled with oil and poured it over herself and ignited it, and she burned herself alive. It was a promise that I made to her that I would not let her memory be sullied, that I would tell people what in fact had happened to her, and that she would not be remembered as a mentally or genetically defective person, that I would not allow that to happen. And I realized that there are thousands and thousands of those people out there, and they need a voice, and I'm serving as that voice.
Now, how's this for a very scary number? In the last 10 years, the use of antipsychotic drugs on young children and teenagers has increased more than 500%. There is growing concern these drugs are being given in even greater doses to kids in foster care, putting them in a virtual chemical straitjacket. Here's national correspondent Byron Pitts with tonight's Eye on Your Children.
Yes, this child is on 6 different psychotropic drugs, 7 different psychotropic drugs.
Gwen Olson is a child advocate and a former pharmaceutical rep who quit her job and wrote this book, Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher, after seeing so many children given so many drugs.
They clamp down on the central nervous system. In effect, they reduce your mobility and that sort of thing. So they're sort of like a chemical straitjacket.
A large number of psychiatrists are dishonest because I see them giving people drugs that they know are brain-damaging therapeutics, that they know do not have positive long-term outcomes, that they know will not cure anything. They just take a list of symptoms and then they call it a mental illness or a mental disorder. And these are voted upon by psychiatrists. We can define people as being mentally ill, and therefore we can sell more drugs for the pharmaceutical industry. It's an extremely lucrative alliance because there's no scientific data that's required for a psychiatrist to diagnose a mental illness. There's no blood test, there's no urine test, there's no PET scan, there's no medical evidence required. And so therefore, that broadens the potential patient population considerably. I was so disillusioned as well as angry when I really found out how much deception, how much misinformation was taking place and how I had been used in that game, because I literally was the one who was on the front lines. I was harming people unintentionally, but I was responsible, and I carry a burden for that now. I decided that in order for me to be able to live with myself based on what I had observed and participated in, that I had a moral obligation to get out and inform other people. When I have talked to as many people that I have talked to in the last year, when I have seen as many psychiatric patients damaged, I know that what I'm doing is a calling, it's a spiritual calling for me. And I do it with great conviction and I do it with passion, because I understand that this is a situation that's not going to get any better unless people that have this experience and knowledge start speaking out.
Yep, and that's why we speak out, because that's ridiculous, you know. And
when
not
you know,
only are they going out there and misinforming doctors, she's not only misinforming doctors on purpose, and then they're misinforming patients on purpose. They don't even know. They have no clue, because some of these drugs, you know, they don't know how they interact with other drugs, and they don't know after a week, a month, 6 months, 6 years of being on all these different things what it's going to do to you. They do know that it causes brain damage and psychosis in people. I mean, you heard it. You heard her. And she's, her name was quoted on there, so if you want to rewind that and check it out, she's got a new book out.
Yeah, this was a...
That's ridiculous.
This was a whole...
that's maddening.
CNN report that was done on the morning show. Or it's actually not on the morning show, on the evening show. And her being an ex-drug pharmacist, but her niece had passed away from mixture of the drugs, if you didn't catch that, and that's really why she's speaking out. But there's so much money in pharmaceuticals and being a pharmaceutical rep. You know, I mean, this is what's tough is to know that these things, that there's these drugs out there that are being pushed on people when we very well know that there's one medicine that would take care of
a lot.
And it has been, and there's proof of that. And there's way more proof in this than in these synthetic drugs that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's pretty ridiculous.
Just know in the states that, you know, that are medical cannabis legal or even legal for recreational use, know that you have a choice in your medicine. And if you don't have a choice in your state, find out what you can do about it.
Oh, here's a story. Colorado marijuana users sue grower over fungicide.
I heard about this.
All right, usually we're all up and happy. Let's just read some of this doomsday information. We don't want fungicides in here. Cancel that.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, two Colorado marijuana users have sued a cannabis grower claiming a patently dangerous agricultural fungicide that becomes poisonous when ignited was applied without their knowledge to pot plants they later smoked. Court documents showed on Monday. Brandon Flores and Brandy Larrabee allege that distributor and retailer LiveWell, LiveWell, has for years applied Eagle 20, a fungicide that contains the chemical mycobutanil. They put that on their marijuana crop. The fungicide is approved for certain edible agricultural crops, but not for smokable products such as tobacco, according to the complaint filed in Denver District Court. As such, persons who smoke cannabis that have been sprayed with Eagle 20 inhale poisonous hydrogen cyanide, the lawsuit said. Along with the District of Columbia, four states, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, allow the possession and use of marijuana for recreational purposes, and nearly two dozen states have medical marijuana laws in their books as well. The plaintiff's lawyer, Stephen Woodrow, said that the complaint was the first product liability action filed against the legal marijuana industry that he is aware of, and he was seeking class action status for the lawsuit. Flores, a recreational cannabis user, and Larrabee, a brain tumor patient who holds a medical marijuana card, are not alleging that they were sickened by the chemical, but they would not have smoked pot they bought from LiveWell if they had known it contained the fungicide. They are asking for reimbursement of the money they spent on a product they cannot use and are also demanding that LiveWell stop using the fungicide on its cannabis crop. According to court documents, LiveWell maintains its plants are safe. Quote, testing our finished product by an independent state licensed lab approved by the City of Denver showed that our products are safe as we have always maintained, LiveWell's owner John Lord said in a statement. Neither Lord nor his lawyer immediately responded to requests for comment. Earlier this year, Denver health regulators withheld some 60,000 of LiveWell's plants from sale until the levels of the chemicals were tested, the lawsuit said. The plants were later released for sale after low levels of the chemical were detected, according to the lawsuit, but that did not remove the harm the chemical can cause, the complaint alleged. So there you have it. That's why all those plants were removed from that organization. And, you know, this is something, you know, when we had our own pre-med testing company on air, they talked about the fact that there are some dispensaries owners that would like to pay lab companies to alter their test results. So who's to say? I mean, they say it's state regulated. They got it from an independent state regulated. They say testing of our finished product by an independent state licensed lab approved by the City of Denver showed our products are safe. Well, this is all new, and I think these consumers have a right to at least get their money back. Geez, if that's all they're asking for, they probably bought like a quarter of the stuff. Give them their $75 back or their $100 back, because now you've got a bad name all over your product. And if you're really putting that stuff and it turns into a slight cyanide when you smoke it,
you were endangering human beings.
Yeah, it shouldn't be in there. You know, it just shouldn't be in there. Although we don't have all the facts. If anyone from LiveWell would like to call us, please do so. Our number.
Yeah, call in.
646
945 8421.
You can email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook. Oh, no, that's the commercial. Go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and check us out. And call us because, you know, we're just reading what we read here. And who knows exactly the truth of the source, but we're reading what we get.
We're reading what news we get here. I'm looking for an article. It was one of my favorite articles. And
did you know, while you're looking for that, I'll read about baby boomers that are turning to medical marijuana.
Yeah, that's a perfect one.
Sue Taylor, a retired Catholic school principal and baby boomer, has started informing baby boomers about the medical benefits of marijuana. California has certified Taylor to teach the state's medical marijuana program to senior care facility nurses and managers looking to continue their education credit. When I go into any senior facility and I give the presentation to any seniors themselves, they resonate with me right away. Number one, because I'm a senior. And number two, I tell them, you don't have to smoke it and the high is gone. And they become very interested, Taylor said. Taylor is one of six finalists for a permit to open a dispensary in Berkeley. If awarded a dispensary permit, Taylor's dispensary would likely be the first in history to be owned and operated by a senior female African-American. Baby boomers are a big swing. Vote for medical marijuana and recreational marijuana legalization. Typical senior-related ailments make them candidates for medical marijuana and likely to be pro-marijuana. Currently, only a small percentage of medical marijuana users are seniors, but that number is expanding and more and more retire. In the U.S., 10,000 people turn 65 years old every day. All right. Those 65-year-olds. Well, they obviously didn't talk to us when they say that not very many, you know, senior citizens are using it because that's the majority of the people who come to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. There's a lot of people, not senior citizens, but 50 and over, I'd say, are a lot of our patients that come in, there's our...
I'd probably say about 75%.
There's the stats for you. Yeah. So, you've got to know what's in your pot. You got to know what you're smoking because it could make you very, very, very sick. Right?
Yeah. Talk to your dispensaries. Talk to your bud tenders. Ask them what the processes are that they're using. Find out more. Find out where the products are coming from. You see, you know, there's tons of different products in the dispensaries now, and they're all coming from somewhere. You know that every dispensary doesn't have its own kitchen, so they're getting these things in. Read the ingredients in the back. I mean, find out.
And we hope to God that this soon is very, 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 very regulated because of that reason. We don't even know what's going to be in the kitchen.
Well,
we also want to talk about... there's no regulation. So right. When someone says, this is what's in the ingredients, is it?
Well, we had pre-med testing on. We were talking about mold in the edibles. So finding out shelf date, knowing these things could be detrimental to yourself, your life, because your immune system may be compromised. So
you got to check it out. Just be careful with your own health. Check this out. Ohio man calls the cops to complain he got too high of marijuana.
That's
Ohio
rough.
Man surrounded by junk food calls police to complain he got too high of marijuana. You should see the picture. This is fantastic. It's just a stock photo. But
fantastic.
It's a good one. Youngstown, Ohio. Police in Ohio say they were called to a house by a man who complained he'd gotten too high smoking marijuana. The Youngstown Vindicator reports that Austintown Township Police on Friday found the 22-year-old man curled in a fetal position on the floor, groaning and surrounded by snacks that included, but not limited to, Doritos, Goldfish crackers, and Chips Ahoy cookies.
That's good.
The newspaper reports that the man told officers he couldn't feel his hands. Officers found a glass jar of marijuana and paraphernalia in the man's car after he gave them his keys. The man refused medical treatment and so far has not been charged with the crime. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's hilarious.
Well, it is, and you got to be careful because...
Obviously, he was using too much.
He was using way too much, and it scared him so much he called the cops.
Yeah.
And he's a new user.
You got it.
I hope you're okay, but...
I don't know that he's a new user. He doesn't say that.
Well, I was reading an article on it, and it said it was a rookie smoker.
Well, you rookie smokers, you newbies, you've got to be careful.
Start slow.
That's where
Pace
Sonic
yourself.
Wendy comes from. Yeah, for don't real. Pace yourself.
It's a marathon for the rest of your life. It's not a sprint.
A marathon. Well, the marathon of love. All right. Why is the roach clip called a roach clip? Because potholder mistaken. We need some new jokes. Come on, man. When you look up weed jokes online, where's our
I don't know. They're definitely not going to give you free ones online. Fine, you got to pay for the good ones.
All right. Fuel up. While you may think it's crazy to run your car on cannabis, what a waste. Some people think you should. Hemp plants act much like corn and waste paper when it comes to biomass, which we all know is the term of the time. We got to stop burning through the ozone, and if it's using pot plants that helps us save the earth and all the earthlings, then how can that still be illegal? So be it. That's what you should say to the cops if they ever catch you growing the grass, man. You're saving the earth. Saving the earth, man. Just saving the earth. All right, today's date, what do we got? Weed tip.
Yeah, weed tip.
October 7th. Holy cow, how did we get to October? Happy October, folks.
Happens fast.
Hey, Halloween's right around the corner, and Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Man. October 7th.
All right, guys. Weed tip. Packing big fat bowls is a great way to bring a group of friends together. It is also a great way to waste pot. After a member of the circle takes a hit, the pot remaining in the bowl continues to burn until it is passed to the next person. Although it can be time-consuming, it is more economical to pack individual hits into the bowl for each person to smoke. That's not bad if you got, a good piece.
I think that's a great idea. I've been recommending this for everybody.
If you pass fast enough, you don't waste. Let's try.
Right.
First of all,
Come on.
We're going to try it right now.
It does take up more time, but it does allow everyone to have a fresh free hit of medicine.
We're going to each have our own bowl in the last 8.5 minutes, and we're going to share one.
And sometimes.
And see how that works.
And cornering isn't always in some people's vocabulary.
Well.
That is true. But you know what?
It wasn't in Bells for a long time.
You need.
I'm just kidding.
For those who need to brush up on their smoker's etiquette, there are many places online where you can look that up. So
I just need my own bowl. You just want to go like a corner of a bowl and be like, oh, I can't take anymore.
We'll be back in a minute. The truth comes out.
Oh, no.
Cornering is a good thing for sissies. Ah! I'm telling you, Guinness Book is going to be here any day, any week day now with a 6-foot bong, and I'm going to start off the gauntlet, and we're going to go from there. I'll be the first.
We wanted to name our kids sissies. We would have named them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman.
Hey, you watch it. All right. iTunes exclusive. Just going along with our TMC.
Yes.
Officials say major pot operation uncovered at San Rafael doctor's home. Look at
this.
That's beautiful.
That's quite a garden he's got there.
That is.
Wow.
That's really awesome. Neighbors in a quiet North Bay neighborhood are looking for answers after the Marin County Crime Task Force raided a home and reportedly found a major marijuana operation. Major, there's like 12 plants there. That's what he's allowed to grow in California.
Like 12?
You just didn't know they got so big, idiot.
Yeah, those are 12 bushes. Let's
see. Calm down.
There were bushes, all right.
Calm down.
Large shrubs.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That ain't a weed anymore. That's a tree.
Sources tell the I team that the call came to San Rafael police as a child in danger due to drug activity. What about the baby? Investigators found those plants growing in the backyard and 17 pounds of packaged pot in a 7-year-old girl's playroom. Lac Lamont is an exclusive neighborhood in San Rafael with million-dollar views and a yacht club. The people living there were stunned when the task force found a marijuana operation in the home's backyard late Thursday night. Dan Noy spoke with neighbors on Tuesday. Appalled, said neighbor Jeanette Bernard, because we've never had a thing like this in this neighborhood. This is a family neighborhood. We don't have pot in the backyard.
No, you just have
it in your cupboard. Fellow neighbor Mary Schmidt added, I thought it couldn't be in this neighborhood. I was really surprised. Well, Mary, smoke doesn't stay in the smoking section. The I team also caught up with the homeowner's 41-year-old John Prescott White. Prescott. Noyce. Hey, John, I'd like to talk to you. I'm doing a story on the news at 6. Huh? I have nothing to say. I'm sorry? I have nothing to say. So the I team obtained photos taken just before the raid of a small section of the backyard. Sources tell us there were, more than 100 plants. Okay.
Okay.
Still legal if you have pay, if you have, they have collectives. You can have, well, actually, no. Sorry. You're out. He's going to jail. You have 99 plants or less. Sorry, buddy. You blew it. In your collective in California, you can have up to 99 plants. Now, sources say there are more than 100. If that's true, then that's a crime. But in a collective in California, you can have different people up to 99 plants worth of different patients in right. your collective. You don't have to. You're not a caregiver like you are here. You're just like all of us right now could have 12 plants times however many to get to 99, and then that's your cutoff limit.
It works that way in Oregon as well.
Okay, so mm-hmm. see, different, but, and here's
you
what
can
we're talking about.
Everyone can combine cards to create a collective.
Follow the rules, people.
It's so easy.
Follow
they're putting
the
them out there, just do
and
that.
And 99 plants is a lot. That's a lot. That guy was growing trees, so if he had 99 of those trees, that was fine.
Outdoor grows are beautiful
Holy
if you
cow.
Follow the rules.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah.
But he grew too many. So, you know, you've got to, this, and they might not be the best rules. You might not like them.
But they're the rules we have.
They are the rules we have.
We get to use those things right now.
Yeah. Somehow I just turned on Google Speaking Voice. You can actually just, like, talk to the computer right
here
and be like,
that?
Oh, this little button right here, search by voice.
I'm excited.
Let's try it. Cannabis.
Yeah.
Oh, Cannabis Club. It says, Cannabis Club, Los Angeles Times, 4 hours ago. This is using Google's voice, yet another cannabis tool. Cannabis Club TV, perfect buzz of useful pot theme programming. Here we go. It's coming on. It's going to be on your sitcoms next to Black-ish and Fresh Off the Boat. We're going to have the weed shows. Step Aside, Comedy Central, Beat It MTV, Eat Your Heart Out Food Channel, a new media darling is tapping into the wants and needs of emerging social culture people who smoke pot, both medicinally and in a growing number of states simply to get high. It's called Cannabis Club TV, or CCTV, the brainchild of Danny Keith and Pete Bigham. The two Santa Cruz partners who, with tattoos and hipster get-ups, happen to be pot consumers themselves, for, you know, those nasty aches and pains. Their goal is to provide a platform for marijuana advertisers to reach potential customers, a burgeoning pot business community that is now, unlike the large U.S. pharmaceutical firms, precluded from such conventional outlets as TV and newspaper advertising. So true. The idea is so simple that even a couch stoner reeling from a couple of mind-blowing bong hits could understand it. CCTV provides high-definition big screens for the waiting rooms of marijuana dispensaries where clients will no longer be held hostage by the banner of, say, Fox TV or reruns of Survival. Instead, they will watch a stream of content that is all things marijuana. Like you can do at Tumbleweed Retail Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Come on down.
We're in the back.
Four people picked to smoke in a room with only a gram of pot.
No. Oh.
And a rubber ducky.
And a rubber ducky.
No.
Who will get out alive?
Happened?
Next.
Oh, no.
Can we get
no.
some music in here? How about some Doritos?
With
I'm
some water.
Hungry.
Ear. Oh my goodness.
Be careful.
So,
David, we're going to
win
it all.
Coming up, we've got the Southwest Cannabis Conference. That's the 26th, 27th, 28th.
Yeah.
But before that, we've got Pride. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and you check out the events link, we've got Pride in the Desert. Starts at noon, goes till 8 o'clock. Is that what we figured out?
Yep.
Something like that?
Noon to 8.
Noon
folks.
To 8. Family friendly. It's the 38th year. The event is their annual fundraiser, allowing us to continue to give back to the community. The annual attendance is approximately 6,000 to 10,000 people, with about 80 or so vendors that include Tumbleweeds Health Center and retail businesses and nonprofits. The entertainment consists of both local and national talent, bringing a wide variety of genres. Stay tuned for more details. So, what is the website? Do I have it? Nope, because we don't have it linked. I'm not that cool. We'll get it linked there, but there's a website, TucsonPride.org.
.org. And it will be at the Keno Sports Park.
It's just not linkable. TucsonPride.org. Keno?
Keno Sports Park. It's
right.
Over there, found off on Ajo and I-10.
All right. There you go. Noon. Come and see us. It's going to be a great day. This is our first Pride event, so we'll be having all sorts of fun things to give away and just lots of information about who we are, what we do, Tumbleweeds Health Center, As always, we want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming and listening to our radio show every day, or every Wednesday, I should say. And maybe you're listening every day. We don't know. If you're listening to past shows and tuning in, we don't know. It could just be happening. Stay tuned. We've got some fun guests coming up. And we're going to be at the cannabis conference that you guys are going to be at Sip and Phoenix. Everybody and their brother is going to be there, so check that out.
Maybe their sisters, too.
Yeah, and there will be a link to that as well on the TumbleweedTailCenter.com very soon. We'd like to thank AZMarijuana.com, Blog Talk Radio, Tumbleweed's Health Center. Go get certified and support the cause. I'd like to thank all you ganja lovers for showing up each and every week, everybody here in this beautiful room, and for no barking.
No barking.
Good job, no barking.
Good job.
Thank you for Weed Day Wednesday. We love you all very much. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.